Out this morning during this portion of the service, just reading you a little bit of church history. Some of you are kind of new and you may not have already kind of known or heard about the story of how this church came to be. First of all, the church isn't the building. We always have to keep that in mind. The church is the body of believers. The church is the bride of Christ. The church are the ones that Jesus died for. You can't really be a Christian and not be part of the church. And for a lot of people to think that, they want to be a Christian, but they're not so sure they really want to be a part of the church, and they don't really think they want to go to church and things like that, there's really some problems with that notion, because really, the church isn't just the meetings, and it's not just the building. This is, I like Brother Steve, he calls this the chapel. And it's kind of good to look at it like that, because this is just the building. This really isn't the church. You guys are the church, okay? And we as the people are the church. And so thank God Jesus didn't die for the building. He died for us. And so let's be, make sure that we stay one with one another. Even if we have to be away for a while, we need to stay connected somehow, because that's what causes us to be to have unity in the church as well. But I'm going to read to you just a little bit about this congregation and also the buildings. Just kind of how it came to be. And so first of all, I just want to thank everybody for being with us today as we celebrate what God's been doing here at Cadet Baptist Church. Cadet Baptist Church was originally a mission, First Baptist Church of Bon Terre, and existed as a church for over 30 years under the direction of Reverend Milton Mingy. He had the vision that one day the church was going to grow. After closing for a short period of time during Brother Mingy's serious illness and death. That part always it always hurts me to read that. That should never happen. Okay? The reason why I'm being really emphatic about this is because the church isn't the pastor. The pastor is supposed to be the under shepherd of the body of believers. Okay? He's just somebody to help lead and point the way and go before, and whenever God gives vision, that he leads in that vision and everything. But what happened after 30 years of the one person being the pastor, he died, and so did the church. That just breaks my heart. And so the only way that a church should ever really die is if God pulls a spirit away from the church. And if that happens, there's nothing a person can do to make that be undone, but we need to pray to God that he never allows that to happen. It needs to be really important to us. But nonetheless, I'll go ahead and move on. So after closing for a short period of time during his illness and death, it was restarted as a mission of Potosi Southern Baptist Church in 1989. Some of their members made a 2-year commitment to work with the ministry with the mission. And they brought a Reverend Ray Bisher to the field as the mission pastor. Do we have anybody here today that came in 1989 and is still here? Go ahead, raise your guys' hands up real tall. We've got 3 people in this room that have stayed. They came in 1989 for a 2-year commitment. At least these, I know Bill and Sharon came with a 2-year commitment. I think Robin had already, your mom had already been part of the church back during the time that Reverend Mingy was the pastor, and you were as well, I guess. Is that true? Or I know you came, so yeah. And so, yeah. Isn't that awesome, though, that Bill and Sharon came with a 2-year commitment, and somehow they decided just that God wanted them to stay, and they're still here today from 1989, whenever it was restarted. And praise God for Sister Robin, and she has stuck it out, and she continues to be a faithful member of this church, and I'm so proud of her. I'm so thankful. Yeah, we can go ahead and give him a hand. We're praising God for what he has done, causing faithfulness. I can tell you, faithfulness is the number one word that's involved with every aspect of how God continues his story. His faithfulness through your faithfulness. And that faithfulness is so important. So during that time, Potosi Southern had a well drilled. So that means they didn't have water before that. They added 2 classrooms and an indoor bathroom facility. Yeah, you can go ahead and give it. Before then, even in the wintertime, Obviously, they had to go outside for that, which we understand at one time that was normal, but it's nice to have indoor bathroom facilities to that one-room building at the time. So they constituted as a church in 1992 in the original building located on Cadet Road under the direction of Reverend Ray Bisher. So if you wonder where the old church was, if you go that way on 47, you cross the tracks, you go up top of the hill, Cadet Road is on your left, kind of catty-cornered from Buckman Laboratories. You go down that road a little ways, and there's an old white building there on the left. I think it used to be a post office at one time, didn't it? Or something like that? Store. Okay. And there's a couple of trailers around it, which is going to give some explanation of that. Okay. So they constituted. That's where they met. And the Lord used Brother Ray and Sister Diane in many ways as they came every weekend from St. Louis with their four small boys and work in the cadet area to reach the people for 4 years. During that time, we added a single wide trailer to the back of the building. And that became the kitchen and dining area, right? Okay. And a group from Campers on Missions helped remodel the trailer to classrooms and a fellowship hall. Then the Lord then called Reverend Jerry Hurchin, his wife Linda, to the field, and after and another remodeling project. We changed the walls in the worship area, turned that area in a new direct and add some different pews, okay, new direction. And later on, we added a double-wide construction trailer for a worship area and turned the old worship area into classrooms. Bob Hahn, which was Robin's dad, right? He helped in the remodeling of that building by designing folding walls, so it had dual purposes, classrooms and a fellowship hall. And as time went on, we purchased land here on Mystic Road and made plans to build a new facility in 2008. We began construction on the present building and moved here in December. God used many other men and their wives and families along the way to lead the church to where we are today. They were Reverend Van Fowler, and he's passed on and gone to be with the Lord, and Loretta. Reverend Lynn Young and Rebecca, Reverend Bill Bird and Sherry and their boys, Reverend Don Strodman and Nina, and Reverend Greg Young and Cindy. Each one came as God led them with the spiritual gifts God gave them in accomplishing what God designed while they were here. God brought our present pastor, me, Brother John Jones, his wife Shelley, and their children to us in 2008. While we were in the middle of the building of building this new facility, he came with the physical skills we needed to lead in the building project and spiritual gifts as well to pastor the church. Brother John left a family construction business to become our first full-time pastor. Under Brother John's leadership to get involved in missions, we are now partnered with Pueblo de Dios Church in Mexico and have taken 3 mission trips there, which we are still available to go and take more if we had a group that desired to, and we were able to pay off the present building in 2017. And so not only does God bring the pastors, but he brings each member with a purpose and a spiritual gift for the edifying of the whole body. No one is here by accident. God has called them here. God is faithful to bring what we need, when we need it, and for the purpose of bringing glory to his name. We need to be faithful to ask him what is his purpose for us while we are here. The journey has been good, and it's not over yet. And I say amen to that. So at this time, I'm just going to ask, does anybody have like a favorite memory or something that they want to share about Cadet Baptist Church? What it's done for you, meant to you, how it's affected you, hopefully in a good way. Anybody have anything they want to share? Junior? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir, Brother Bill. So the building and the need was so heavy that it literally brought him to tears, wondering where would they start in trying to build something there. And so it's really good. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Shelly? Amen. Amen. Yes, Jeannie. Amen. Praise God. I like that description, a huge family. I thought whenever I first started coming to church back right after I got saved that I was going to be going to a place where they just wanted things from me. That was my fear. But what I found whenever I found a true church was it was there as a family, and it was just a really big family. And so praise God for that. Andy? Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. Barbara? Mm-hmm. Amen. I still remember the first, Sundays, not specific details, but I remember whenever you first started coming with your daughter. And, I want you to know that that you guys are never just a number. That's something that we've always been very committed to as a church, that God cares about people. He doesn't just care about numbers. And that was something that really drove me away from church whenever I was small. I went and visited a church one time in my adolescent, older childhood years, and I was counted as a number, and I never went back. You couldn't have dragged me back into a church. I was actually stood up and given a number, and the person who brought me got a prize. And it really made me feel about that big. Because I had social anxiety, and for one thing, I didn't want to be stood in front of the whole church my first time in. And number two, I certainly didn't want to be counted as a number for the person who brought me. So I understand, the idea of trying to encourage people to bring people. But I think if you're excited about Jesus, you'll bring people. And I can say I was called by four churches who were pastorless in 2 days. I had waited for 2 years for a call from a church while I was on a list to fill pulpits. I had not received a call for 2 years. And in 1 day, three churches called me, and the second day, Cadet Baptist Church called me. I'm going to tell you what made me really consider Cadet Baptist Church to be serious about seeking the Lord about it was because out of four different people that called to have me fill the pulpit, Brother Bill was the only one that told me he would be praying for me. He actually offered to pray with me. And that is huge to me. Because if we can't be a praying church, then I don't think we're really the church. We have to be a praying church. Because prayer is a part of who the church is, not just what we do. How can we really be in connection with God, you know, otherwise? So, and I preached in the three other churches for about a month and a half to 2 months before I came here. This was the last church, my last location. And, you know, I really felt like that God had called me here. And I didn't just agree to it right away. And also want to share another detail with you. It says something about in there about me becoming full-time here. The reason why the church called me to full-time ministry here was because of the need was greater than what a person could fulfill trying to do two full-time jobs. Ministry is always full-time. If you're called and your heart is in it, you can't do it part-time. And the first 2 years of trying to do that and run a business that was supporting three families almost killed me. And the church had grown to a little right around 100 every Sunday at that point in time. And God was really moving, and it was impossible to keep up with all of it. And so that's whenever the church called me to be full-time. And it was a hard decision, but it was an easy decision. So it was really hard to leave my dad in his older age in a business we had started 27 years before that. But it was an easy decision because I know God was the one leading it. So whenever Jesus says, this is where we're going, it really isn't, it isn't okay to tell him no. I mean, there's only one right answer, and it's yes. And so by the time they called me in July, I actually unloaded my tools somewhere around the next week, and I never went back to that job again. And it was hard. That part of it was the hardest part. I was driving over to my dad's shop in the morning while he was getting ready to go to work, and I had talked to him about it. And he knew, but he was trying to figure out what it was going to look like. And whenever I unloaded every tool out of my truck except for a couple personal tools, he literally sat down in that shop and cried. And I sat down and cried with him for about a half an hour. And it was a tough, tough, tough decision on that end of it. But it was simple because when God says, let's go, you don't really have a choice. And, you know, when God said, let's go, the church really didn't have the money to pay me, like, you know, on a real long-term basis. We had talked about that. And, I mean, we knew that our budget was always going to be tight to do it. But we just know that God provides for whatever he calls us to do. And so I believe God still has plenty of work for us to do as a church. Now, one of the dangers of going from a part-time, quote, part-time or bivocational pastor to a full-time pastor is a lot of times the church can feel like now we've got paid staff to do things. And, you know, that's something that I appreciate that the church still, you know, wants to do things together. You know, it's not like having a hired hand. It's a person who's now able to work in a lot of different areas. So since then, I've been able to direct boys camp, be very involved in different associational things, and also be available to you guys more through the weeks whenever you need something or need me to come and visit. So I want to praise God for that. Do we have any other good memories that anybody wants to give? Sister Sharon. Mm-hmm. But since I've obeyed the Lord, it's now Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys, every one of you are truly a blessing, and so I want to praise God for each one of you. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to go into the message. Dear Father, just want to thank you for these folks, Lord. I thank you for the body of Christ here in Cadet. Please give us vision as we go forward, Lord. We've talked about a lot of this portion of the service has been about the past for this church. But Lord, let us look to the future. And let us see where we are right now and what you may be doing and where we are heading in the future, Lord, according to your plan, your will, your desire. Give us the vision, Lord, to continue on in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story's not over. And so I want to read to you something real quick here from John 14, and then we're going to go to the message for today. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And probably a lot of you guys already know this by heart. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Of course, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's preparing a place for us. And he said so. And he said if it wasn't true, he wouldn't have said so. So we know it is true because he did say so. And that's going to be the best homecoming ever is whenever we finally get to go to be with him. But until then, he still has a purpose for us. We have life this side of heaven as well. Do I get an amen? Sometimes Christians can be looking so forward to heaven, we forget that God still has a plan for us now. And so it's really important for us to remember God has given us life today. And our life is part of eternal life because as soon as you come to know Jesus, then you have eternal life from that point on. And so we don't have to wait to get to heaven to get the eternal life. We've already got it. We possess it and we have life today. Now we need to live it for him. And we need to live it to the fullest. So what we're going to do is we're going to think about this idea of thriving, surviving, or dying again today. I promised you it was going to be like a little bit of a sermon series. Today we're going to be in John 15. And we're going to look at the soil, the parable of the sower last week. And we saw that good soil is absolutely necessary to be able to have a harvest, to be able to have fruitfulness is the soil. And we decided that sometimes God's got to till up our soil and plant that seed. The seed is the Word of God. And if we allow Him to till up and fertilize that soil with however He wants to do it, we will have a great increase, great fruitfulness, 30, 60 to 100 times. Do I get an amen? That's what I want to see coming out of my life. I'd like to see 100 times the effort that maybe I've sowed into it through the Word of God, whenever I get to heaven, see that it really mattered. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I look at it and I wonder, does it really matter? Is it really making a difference? We know that part's in God's hands. God's faithful. So we know it does. But let's look at what Jesus has to say here from chapter 15 of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do, say it with me, nothing. And we can't do anything good without Jesus. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Wow, that is a harsh statement. Jesus is telling us the truth that in, that every Christian is called to abide in Christ. And if we refuse to abide in Christ, what we're doing is proving ourselves not to be a Christian. Because that's the part that gets burned. What does the burning represent? It represents hell. There's no doubt in my mind. Jesus was very clear with things. He goes on to say, though, on the other hand, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Is your joy full this morning, church? Is your joy full this morning? Because if you're abiding in Christ, he is absolutely saying no matter what's happening in your life, your joy can be full. Because his joy becomes our joy. And there's nothing that steals Jesus' joy in the long run. When he said it's finished on that cross, folks, he had done everything that needed to be done to save everybody who believes in him forever. His joy is full. He wants your joy to be full. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruitfulness, and that your fruit should abide, or should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. We're going to stop there and let's dig into this a little bit. So, Jesus uses the agricultural example. That was something they could understand in their day for sure. Agriculture was everything, guys. I mean, like, it was life. If you didn't have stuff growing and things weren't growing, that means people were going to starve to death. That's called a famine. Whenever you hear about a famine in a land, it's because they live off of what they receive from the earth, and whenever it doesn't grow, for whatever reason, most of the time lack of rain or whatever, lack of fruitfulness, they die. And so Jesus uses the agricultural example of what happens to the church and what happens to even a Christian life, if you're not bearing fruit, if you're not being fruitful, there's a death that sets in. And so it's really important for us to understand that these things that are listed up here are things that are not optional. Okay? So Jesus used the agricultural example to show us that being saved was about thriving. It's about bearing fruit. If you notice, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, that you should bear fruit. Bearing fruit is thriving. You know, the funny thing is, in our culture in this day and age, we keep trying to disconnect those two, you know, from being fruitful and thriving. We want to thrive and not really be fruitful. We grow trees and hybridize trees so that they can have the bloom, but we don't want the fruit. Kind of weird. You know, that's really what a Bradford pear is, and I know I'll get an amen out of Steve. He hates those things. Because they're like a weed that keeps getting spread. And you know why they were even bred? Was to have the beauty, to look like they're thriving, and yet take away the fruitfulness. Dare I say, even our families are doing this nowadays with all this reproductive rights and all this stuff that we keep talking about, and abortion and things like that. We want to have the thriving without the fruit. And we're getting it all backwards. The fruit is an example of the thriving. I can tell you, I have 8 children, and I'm not sorry for any of them. They've brought our life so much a fuller amount of joy that I just can't imagine what I'd do without any of them. And I know people that have more, and I know people that have less, but if it's the ones that God gave you, he wants you to thrive through those. I know some who have not been able to have any, but they thrive in the fruitfulness of pouring into other people's lives as well. There's more than just biological children in this world. Do I get an amen to that? There's like spiritual children, and that's worth living for, guys. But he wants us to bear fruit. Number 2, Good soil is required, not optional. Got to have good soil. You see, if the soil's bad, seed hits it, we heard what happens. If it's rocky, springs up, goes away. If it's got too many thorns, the cares of the world all around it, chokes it out. You know, it's just like growing your garden. What happens if you got too many weeds in your garden? Chokes everything out, you know? We can keep on going with this. I've had stuff planted on top of rocks before, and you'd have everything else on that row looking beautiful, and you got this one plant that's all just kind of withered up. A lot of times you can dig down and find out there's a rock right underneath it. There's a lot of stuff we can learn from this. Good soil is required. We learned about that last week. Abiding is required. We're going to learn about that this week. Abiding is absolutely required. This is not an option. You can't say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to abide in Jesus. You can't do it. It's impossible. If you're a Christian, he's the vine, we're the branch. What happens if you don't abide in the vine? The branch dies. It's impossible to have one without the other. Okay, number four, another absolute requirement, no options on this one, is pruning is required. Jesus said so. Pruning sounds painful to me. How about you guys? You guys ever pruned a fruit tree or... Here, I'm sure he would have probably been especially talking about, grape orchard, right? It's a big part of life. Have you ever seen a grape vineyard? I'm sorry, not an orchard, but a vineyard. Have you ever seen a grape vineyard whenever they have trimmed it back, whenever they've gotten through pruning it? You drive past them, right? We're Baptists, so we're not big on going to wineries. I get that. But you drive past them, right? Have you ever seen one that's been trimmed? I went through St. James one day, and I saw one that had been trimmed. My goodness, there's almost nothing left. Everything that's not needed is gone. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about here. He was saying, if it's not needed and it's not bearing fruit anymore, then the Father is going to chop it off. He is going to get rid of it because it's just dead weight. And so let's kind of get into this just a little bit more. So let's start with the abiding. We've already studied the soil. We know good soil is absolutely necessary. Now we know abiding is necessary. From John 15, he made it very clear. So it means to stay or remain in. Okay? To stay or remain in. It means you got to stay connected to him. Okay? Got to stay in him. Got to remain in him all the time. Okay? This is a continual process. Whenever we start to allow sin to get in our lives that's causing separation between us and God, what do you feel like? If you're a Christian and you begin to, you know, like, enjoy sin for a time, but and God's already pointed it out to you and you won't repent, what do you feel like? Awful. You're not going to find a more miserable person on planet Earth than a person that is in rebellion with God, continuing in sin, and unwilling to repent. Because that abiding process is being interrupted by your sin. Just got an email from a lady we prayed for last year at the ladies' conference that I go to as a prayer warrior. We had a room of about 27 guys last year praying over all the prayer requests that they wrote down on those cards. You know when you write down a prayer request on a card and you wonder, does anybody really pray for it? Well, I'm going at the end of this week, and I'm going to pray for those cards. Well, I got an update to one of the cards. Last year, we prayed for an individual lady who was in an affair. She had been in an extramarital affair for almost 2 years when she wrote out that prayer card and was asking for help. It was like she was in a situation that was really bad. She knew it. She actually said on the prayer card, I started not to come to the conference because I knew how much conviction I'd be under, but I knew I needed to. So she asked us to pray. And we, actually, all 27 guys stopped what they were doing. We prayed over that one card at one time. And she gave a testimony to what happened next. But I can tell you, she said she's never felt so low, so dead in her life as she did when she was continuing in that sin before she repented. If you're feeling dead this morning, you're feeling kind of separated from God, then here's my advice to you. Go to whatever the last thing God showed you you needed to do for him, in your relationship with him, and start doing it. Start repenting. That's what repentance is. It's not just saying, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it anyways, God. It's, I'm sorry for my rebellion, and I'm going to turn around. Okay? I'm going to turn away from it. If you would go back to whatever was the last moment that you felt that closeness with God and begin to do that again and continue to do that again, you will begin to feel the joy of abiding in him again. So just kind of a little note. Just make sure you continue to do. You notice that? It's a continual process. Okay? That means it's something that's got to keep happening all the time. Okay? So abiding is important. We need to remain in Him. We need to continue in a continual process with Him. If we're being disobedient, it begins to cut off that process. Do I get an amen? I've been disobedient before. That's how I know. Whenever you're disobedient, you're just not doing what you know God wants you to do. You don't want to be there. You're not going to feel that closeness. Enjoy that joy of your salvation in Him during that time. All right, next thing, we're going to look at pruning. John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Is anything stronger than the Father? We talked about that this morning. Anything in the universe stronger than the Father? Stronger than God. Can't happen. No way. So if God, the Father, is the vine dresser and He is going to prune you, you're His child and He's going to prune you so that you bear more fruit, can you really stop Him from doing that? No. Now, if you resist Him, I believe it will be more painful. If you resist Him, you are going to miss out on the benefits of your pruning. But I can tell you, I don't think we're going to stop Him. There's a lot of people trying to stop God from doing what He's going to do in their life, and I can just say it's a bad, bad idea. You really just need to go with God. We need to get of one mind with God because the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Definitions here. We're going to look at take away, and we're going to look at prune, because those are the two key words that I see in that sentence. Take away means to raise up or lift up. I'm going to be honest with you. I never knew that the Greek word there actually was that specific. Take away just meant take away to me, but it actually means to raise up or lift up. It's important to understand that distinction. Prune means to cleanse. It means there's actually like something dirty that needs to be taken away so that that vine can be cleansed. We need to be a cleansed vessel to be able to be used of God to bear fruit. Do I get an amen to that? Now remember, it's the Father who's the vine dresser. And what's the Father going to do to every one of His children? He's going to lift up and He's going to cleanse. Okay? So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind because we're going to go to a physical example of somebody that had an interesting homecoming. Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus? There's a couple different Lazaruses in the New Testament. One was a beggar, but this one was actually the brother to Mary and Martha. You guys remember Mary and Martha? All right, and Bethany. Really sweet ladies. One was all about work, and the other was all about listening to Jesus, and they kind of got into it about that. I'm sure there's people in here who can relate to both sides of that, right? We need to have a right balance of Mary and Martha. But anyway, Lazarus was their brother. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha were very close to Jesus, and they sent for Him. And Jesus took His time getting there because He loved them. That really sounds strange, amen? Didn't that sound strange to you? So like they sent for Him, and it's like He took an extra day getting there because He loved them. That feels weird to me because like if you love me and I call you, I want you to come as quick as possible, right? That's going to say I love you, man. But you see, Jesus had something bigger He was wanting to show. You see, if somebody had only been dead a day, then it might be considered they weren't really dead. If they'd only been dead 2 days, it might be considered maybe they weren't all the way dead because they didn't believe a spirit really left a person until 3 days later. Okay? So on the third day, the spirit will have left Him in their own minds and their way of thinking. Okay? I'm not giving you a scientific example. I'm just saying that's what their culture said. So since the spirit would have left Him, He'd have been really dead after 3 days. He waited and got there on the fourth. Because He loved them. Now, I'm just going to tell you, whenever He got there, the reception He got was a little mixed because they're saying, if you'd have loved us, if you really loved us, you'd have come. You could have saved Him. And He said, I can raise the dead. Well, I know you can in the final judgment, you know, in the resurrection and all that stuff. She believed in the resurrection. Now, He's going to give a physical example of a spiritual reality here. Okay? So this all came to pass. He said, take me out there to the cave, roll the stone away. And good old Martha said, but Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He stinketh. Like he's really dead. He stinks. And then Jesus calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, I believe this is a physical example of what happens to us in a spiritual way when we're born again. Jesus raises us up to new life, okay? And this whole pruning process is about raising us up and then cleansing us of all the dead stuff. Look at what he's got going on here. He stinketh. He had grave clothes on still. And so God said, let's get the filth off of him. Let's get the death off of him. Let's cleanse him so that he can bear fruit. And guys, here's the deal. A lot of us may have gotten started on that lifting up process, but we're still hanging on to a lot of the dead stuff. It's time to let God cleanse it away. Cut it off. Okay? We got to get rid of a lot of the old ways of doing things. I know as soon as I got saved, I went, oh no, there's this, 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 and this. I got to change right away. You guys ever feel that way? I know whenever I got saved, there was like 3 or 4 things, just in particular, that God already had his finger on it. And I thought, well, at least whenever I get rid of those 4, I'll be able to feel good about myself. You see, because after I got rid of those 4, then he started showing me the this, 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 and this. I hadn't even thought about it yet. Because you see, it's going to be a continual process of him cutting away, pruning away the stuff that brings about death from the world. Because the flesh brings about death, but the spirit brings about life. And so we've got to be about the spirit now. Can anybody recite Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to me by heart? I love memorizing scripture. Somebody say it. But according to the Spirit. And you see, the rest of the first part of Romans 8 goes on to talk about how the Spirit brings life, but the flesh brings death. Guys, I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of people have started the lifting up process. I'm not doubting their salvation. I'm not saying anything about it. But if they're really in Christ, they got to start letting God, the Father, prune off the death so that then they can really bear fruit. Because the whole reason why he saved us wasn't just to be in heaven. It's to bear fruit for him, to bring glory to him. He said so right here. But you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. You know what? Whenever we look at something, we try to decide, is it thriving? Is it surviving? Or is it dying? I'm going to tell you, if it's in the category of barely surviving, it's really on the process of dying. I got some fruit trees out in my backyard that have never bore fruit. I would not say those trees are thriving at all. They're apple trees, if you really want to know the truth. They look kind of wimpy. They look kind of puny. We've fertilized them. We've done a lot of different things to them. Apparently, we haven't done the right thing to them because they still won't bear fruit. Some of them have been there 5, 6 years, maybe more. I'm just going to tell you, if they don't start to bear fruit, then I'm going to say they're not thriving and they're going to be dying. Because I did not plant those things back there to have to trim around them and drive my tractor around them and drive everything around them, mow grass around them, just so they can be there. I planted them to bear fruit. And if they're not going to bear fruit, then I'm going to get rid of them. I wonder if God ever actually says so. Okay, so you get the idea. So he's going to take up, he's going to raise up, and then he's going to cleanse, and that's what that pruning process is all about. So as we look at this little story here, he raised from the dead, he cleansed from the death that was all over him. Next slide. And we cannot bear fruit, or we cannot bear life if we have death all over us. Next slide. Keep moving. We cannot bear life if we have death all over us. It really is about that. The Word cleanses us, and the Word is what prunes us. Did we see what he said there about how the Word had already made him clean in John chapter 15, verse 3? The Word had already made him clean. The Word is what cleanses us. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. This is an admonition to the husbands. It's also showing us how Jesus works with this church because he is the bridegroom. Okay? So are we getting the comparison, the similarity? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's what husbands ought to be about their wives. And that's what Jesus is about the church. It's all about the Word cleansing us. Guys, if you guys have been feeling distance from God and you feel like you got the filth of the world kind of clinging on you, and you even notice you're in some of your old bad habits, you're watching those movies you shouldn't have watched even before you got saved, but you're still kind of being drawn back to them, you know better. Maybe for some guys, hooked on porn. I don't know, guys. They say 65% of guys are hooked on porn. And I'm just going to tell you, you can't abide in Christ and be hooked on pornography. It just isn't going to happen. It's going to cause a separation between you and God. You need to get rid of it. You need to cut it off. Okay, that's part of the pruning process. All right. It could be food. I'm so addicted to food, you know, that this could be my problem, which I'm not saying that it is, but it could be anybody out there, you know, that I go to food for my comfort rather than going to Jesus for my comfort, you know. Just talking to somebody the other day on the phone, they were really upset, and they said, man, I just feel like going and eating a gallon of ice cream. It was a comfort thing. And you know, they've struggled with weight problems in the past. You know, we might think that sounds funny to us. Maybe yours is something else. But we all have some issue that if we're not careful, it will try to usurp or take the position of God in our life. And God's saying, get rid of it. I can't imagine eating a gallon of ice cream either. But, you know, for some, that may be the struggle. Everybody's got a different thing they're dealing with. I can tell you, if you think you ain't dealing with anything, then you're probably delusional, and you're going to be really disappointed in yourself when you find out. We need to ask God, what am I dealing with? What do I need to deal with today? But I can tell you, whatever it is, we better deal with it, because it's really about being cleansed by the Word. So if you want to deal with it, get in the Word of God. I'll guarantee you, it will begin to guide you through the process. Word of God is all sufficient because it's part of who He is. Jesus is the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. It's enough. John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. 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 I got to remind myself that. Nothing. Because I keep trying to do things in the flesh if I'm not careful. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. This pertains to His children individually as His church. The less that we love sin, guys, the less painful our pruning process is going to be. If we're loving it and trying to hang on to it, when God tries to cut it off, it's going to hurt. If we're wanting to get rid of it too, then when God cuts it off, we're going to say amen. Amen. Take as much as you need, Lord. Here's the thing, guys. We must be fruitful. So here's the question. How do we judge if something's really abiding in Him, if it's really flourishing, if it's really thriving? Look for the fruit. In your life, look for the fruit. What kind of fruit's coming off your tree? In the life of your family, in the life of those around you, in the lives of those in the church. How about this church? Is it thriving? Is it barely surviving? Because if it's just barely surviving, then it's on its way to dying. And you know, the church is no stronger than the individuals that sit in the pews. Because that's what the church is. So, if we find that we're barely surviving or we're kind of on our way to dying, what should we do about it? I know what I do if it's my health. I go to the doctor. I say, give me a diagnosis, Lord. Show me what I need to change. Go to the great physician and ask him. He'll give you answers. And then let's just do it. If we really want to thrive, then we have got to put what it's going to take into it to thrive. You can't say, well, I want to thrive, but I don't really want to put anything into it. That won't work. You don't do that to your children. You don't do that to your marriage. You don't do that to your family and expect it to work. You don't even do that to your vehicle. If the oil light comes on, you stop. You put oil in it. If you don't, it's going to blow up. I don't know if you guys noticed, I'm walking with a limp today. I've been working on a Dodge. Thinking about switching over to Fords. What do you guys think? Think that'd be a good move? But when the old Dodge started complaining, I had to do something about it if I want to continue to drive it. It wasn't thriving. We're alive, and we got to decide, do we want to thrive? If this church is going to thrive, it's going to take all of us to make it thrive. And it's all of us just putting everything that we got into everything that we do and to do it with excellence and to do what it takes to strive toward that excellence. I hope everybody did an excellent job cooking the food because we're just about to go down and try it out. I believe they did. They usually do. I'm looking forward to the tasty food. Let's make every part of our Christian life like that. Put everything that we need to into it to make it excellent. Okay? Some of the sweetest days I can remember in this church was some of the early days when we were building the building. We had a vision. We were all in the same vision. But guys, the building can't be the end of our vision. The building is here to reach the people. We got a van that sits in my driveway, and it sits so much that the mice eat up the wires off of it. We need somebody to drive that van. Go pick up kids. I've cleaned 5 dead mice out of the inside of it because it simply is not being used. That van should be used. There are kids that want to come to church on Wednesday nights. There are kids who would come here on Sunday mornings. There are even some adults that don't have transportation and get on that bus too. But it's going to take some commitment and some time to make it happen. It's going to take the commitment and time to keep the van up, to be able to drive it. I went ahead and drove it this past week back and forth over to Sunrise because it needed to be run. I started out with the engine light on constantly. By the end of the week, the engine light was off and it was running better than ever because it's just an example of how things need to be used. Why does this building exist? It's to fill it up. But it's going to take all of us going out to make that happen. So I want to see this church thrive. How about you guys? It'll thrive as we thrive. Because when you're excited about Jesus, you won't be able to help but tell other people about him. I can tell you, whenever I'm excited about Jesus, I go to school. That's what I talk about. Whenever I go to mentor, that's what I talk about. Whenever I go to lead prayer, that's what I talk about. It just happens naturally. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, where are we? Are we thriving? Are we barely surviving as individuals in you? Are we really abiding in Christ? Because you're all sufficient. If we're abiding in you, we should be fruitful. Lord, if we're not fruitful, it's not your fault. Because we know that sap is running through the vine. The Holy Spirit's always coming through that vine. It depends on us staying connected. That's why it's so important we do come and regularly attend, regularly be a part of the services, the opportunities. Lord, I pray that folks come back tonight and be encouraged by the testimonies and also through our study in Jeremiah, just seeing how important it is that we be faithful. Lord, bless this time. Bless this time of invitation. If there's anybody that just wants to come forward, kneel down at this altar and say, Lord, where am I with you? Am I thriving? Am I surviving? Or am I dying? Is my relationship in trouble with you? Or Lord, you might show us that we're pretty stable, but you know, there's a few things we need to work on. I don't know. But I pray that you would show us how to thrive in you. We would have life and have it abundantly. Not just barely survive. You know, I ask people all the time, how you doing? Oh, I'm making it. Oh, you know, I've even said it myself. I'm hanging in there. You don't want us to just hang in there. You want us to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. You want us to be abundantly alive in you. let us give you glory through that abundant life. Lord, if we don't have it, let's get it. Today's the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.